Hello there, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Confused Breakfast Podcast. Do you remember the pure joy of a trip to the video rental store as a kid? The excitement of walking down the aisles, browsing the names and the artwork, and finally picking out the movie you were going to take home with you. Yeah. Sure, it's hard to beat the ease of the modern era and streaming platforms where you don't even have to leave your couch, but there was something truly special about making that trip to Blockbuster after jump ball practice, picking a movie out by hand, and taking it home to watch. On this podcast, we revisit and dissect some of our favorite childhood movies from that magical era to see if they still move us the way they did as kids. I'm your host, Mike Schulte. Joining me, as always, two fungus-sucking sacks of maggot puke. Sean Pryor and AJ Vance, how the heck are you?
My favorite cocktail there is.
That's a cocktail?
Yeah, man.
Damn.
Yeah, yeah, you ever had it?
Does it have albuterol in it?
Yeah, he'd rather have that than an Aperol spritz.
Yeah. It's an albuterol right. Shot on the side.
That's right. It's like above an albuterol chaser.
Well, boys, on today's episode, we discuss a movie that spawned four direct-to-video sequels, two animated series, and seven video games. A movie that used 17 gallons of fake blood and over 300,000 blank ammunition rounds during filming. A movie directly chosen by our Patreon members, beautiful people they are.
Yeah.
We are, of course, talking about 1997 Starship Troopers.
Well, damn dang it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for another nostalgic journey to the past with the Confused Breakfast. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. Wherever you are in the world, take it away, boys.
I didn't know when the statistics became absolutely false. I was a little thrown off.
What do you mean?
Those numbers can't be real.
They're real.
Oh my God.
But guys, one of the coolest ways to support this podcast is by joining our Patreon. You get extra perks like bonus weekly audio episodes just for you, access to the private Discord server, but also you get to vote on upcoming movies. Sean gave them five movies to choose from, and they chose Starship Troopers with 69% of the vote.
Ooh.
Heathers had 19, Now and Then had 7, Election had 4, and Long Kiss Goodnight received one total vote out of more than 125.
And we're going to out that person right now. No, just kidding.
Actually, I feel like, I wish I remembered their name. But if you want to join in on our movie votes and have a say in what movies we do, go sign up, patreon.com/confusedbreakfast. And if you're new to this podcast, we will be reviewing Starship Troopers scene by scene with the modern eye. But in order to do that properly, must first discuss it with pure nostalgia. Sean, let's start with you, man. What was the first time you saw this movie? How'd you feel about it? And give us a rating.
I truly feel like I watched this movie. There was a period in my life where my dad was staying with our aunt and uncle. And he would have us over, me and my brother, and that's where I learned how to do Ghosts in the Graveyard.
Yes.
With my friends in the neighborhood. And we would watch movies like Creepshow, and when we get to Creepshow, hopefully we do. I've said it before, but it's like one of those movies where I'm like, why is this funny? Like, why why does it seem funny? Because someone's like getting shot in the head. Why are people laughing and clapping? I don't know. I don't understand. And then we watched this movie, and it's like kind of the same thing. I feel like I didn't know why, like the tone of the movie felt off to me, but when I watched it, I liked all the action obviously as a kid, but I was traumatized, and we'll get to it. I was traumatized as a kid of the brain bug. Mm-hmm. And that whole scene, and it's burned in my retinas just like the Red Dawn kid hanging out the window. I liked it, but it freaked me out. I'm gonna give it a 6
for Sean. AJ, what about you, man?
I am kind of in the same thought process here. Love this movie. It freaked me the hell out. But my brother Bob saw this movie before I did, and he did what he would always do. He would describe scenes to me or redo the dialogue and tell me what they said and tell me all about how. Like what was happening in the movie. So I'd get these little blips in my head, and then I finally got to see it, and he was super excited to see it, and then I get to show it to you and that kind of thing. But it creeped me out, although I got to tell you, I think this movie may have made me a man, because those might be some of the first movies I really ever saw,
the shower scene.
Like legit. Mm-hmm. On screen, and was like, oh, well, this is cool.
I'm feeling things.
There's things happening.
I definitely like this.
If this is what the military's like, sign me up. So, no, I love this movie when I was a kid. I loved it so much. it creeped me out, but I loved it. So I'm going much higher. I'm giving this a 9.2.
Nice. 9.2. Yeah. Guys, believe it or not, I have never seen Starship Troopers.
Whoa. Oh my gosh.
And here's
Mike.
What's weird. Like, not only is it wasn't even a movie on my radar to see. In fact, when I searched for it, the cover art came up and I'm like, that's not the movie we're trying to watch. Like, I had a completely different, I thought this was a Sylvester Stallone movie.
Wait.
Like, what movie am I confusing this with?
What?
I don't, I literally never.
Demolition Man, maybe?
It might be. Like, I never knew, I knew zero things. A lot of times I haven't seen a movie, but I know of it and I know the idea of it. I've never, I don't know anything about this movie going into it.
That blows my mind.
And I have no fucking clue why. Just no one. I didn't have an older brother to be like, you got to check this out.
No reason.
Boobies.
Who could describe scenes to you about a guy throwing a knife into another guy's hand?
I mean, this is 97. I'm 15. So I'm like, I guess I don't know. I don't know. I think I feel like it was made for me.
I mean, yeah, around that time.
Damn.
I'd be going to the theater. Yeah.
Well, so I'm an NA. We got executive producer Starling on the show. He said, I am sending this to you guys from Ojai, California. Ojai?
Ojai?
Yeah. Where I'm attending a wedding in a few hours. Ojai was the filming location for Smokey and the Bandit, Easy A, my favorite Emma Stone movie,
nice.
And Birth of a Nation. Three movies that have nothing in common other than rolling hills in the background. But just through the valley and down the coastline to Malibu is where they shot Mr. Johnny Rico's family home because nothing says Buenos Aires like Malibu. Starship Troopers was the opposite of Bad Boys for me. I saw this in 1998 when telling someone I'd never seen it. Apparently, everyone in the room had and insisted that I head to Blockbuster immediately to rent the Star Trek with Bugs movie. It definitely had It's So Bad, It's Good energy at that time. I remember thinking it was a fun movie and that I had never seen two people more genetically blessed than Casper Van Dien and Denise Richards. They look like someone made them in a lab. Yeah. I recall this was the beginning of a good run for Denise with Wild Things. Ooh, Wild Things. And Drop Dead Gorgeous coming right after this. Other than the hot couple and the bugs, I do remember thinking, how is he from Buenos Aires again? This is an 8 for me. So as a group, we are 7.73 nostalgically, which, you know, 7.73, that's going to take us actually fairly high.
Yeah, that's, I feel like a tie.
That's,
yeah.
That's like, that's 30s, basically. That's going to be tied with Mrs. Doubtfire and Blues Brothers.
Mm, okay.
Wow.
That's where we feel about it nostalgically, but we are going to rip that apart now that we've talked about it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Talk about it with a modern eye. First, we got to do all the pertinent, important details of the movie. Sean, what do you got, man?
I've got a cool cup. Produced by John nice. Davison, Alan Marshall, Stacey Limbrazer, and Phil Tippett. Written by Edward Neumeier. Based off the book by Robert A. Heinlein. Cinematography by Jost Vacano. Also worked with Verhoeven a lot, our director here, Paul Verhoeven. Worked with Verhoeven on RoboCop, Total Recall, and then also did Das Boot. Music by Basil Palladoris. I don't know if he is related to Squints Palladoris.
Squints Palladoris.
But,
gotta be.
Yeah, somewhere in there, maybe. Edited by Mark Goldblatt and Caroline Ross. And directed by, as I said, Paul Verhoeven. Cast: Casper Van Dien, Dina Meyer, Denise Richards, Jake Busey, Neil Patrick Harris, Clancy Brown, Seth Gilliam, Patrick Muldoon, Marshall Bell, Eric Bruscotter, Matt Levin, Amy Smart. It was weird to see her in there.
Yeah, it was.
Dean Norris and Michael Ironside. Writer Edward Neumeier wanted to write a big, silly, jingoistic, xenophobic, I almost said xenomorphic.
Nice.
Xenophobic, let's go out and kill them all movie settled on the antagonist being bugs from another planet. The writer said, I wanted to do a war movie that had a teenage love aspect thrown in. The script was originally called Bug Hunt on Outpost 7. When writer Neumeier and producer John Davison brought the script to Sony Pictures and TriStar, the production heads were reluctant on the idea. Neumeier and Davison knew their story had similarities to the novel Starship Troopers, so they started to research who owned the rights. They learned the rights were available and instead pitched their idea as an adaptation of that novel.
So wait, they had already basically written something, and then they adapted it to a novel.
Yeah, they realized that it had similarities to the novel Starship Troopers. But then, as we'll get into, they noticed a lot of flaws with the actual
cool.
book, so they kind of reinvented the story a little bit. Heinlein's original novel was truly a right-wing look at the military and was inherently fascist.
Wow.
Writer Neumeier wanted to make a movie about fascism, but wasn't but was uncomfortable with the novel's overt "war is the best" approach. Verhoeven also read the novel, but only got two chapters in before putting it down.
I'd say, nah, that's enough.
Verhoeven then encouraged Neumeier to satirize those aspects and essentially make fun of them. So, yeah, I mean, this is Verhoeven's thing, as we'll get into, where it's all of his movies pretty much are a satire of something. And if it's beyond you to watch this movie and to not get that, this movie is in on itself, I don't know. Okay.
First time I watched it, I was like, cool. Okay, well, and then I started reading about it. Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, I totally picked up on a lot of that.
Oh, I know. I'm so smart. I'm pretty smart.
No, yeah. That's where they're going with this.
No, I feel like an idiot.
But yeah, I like that that's Verhoeven's thing. And I think he was the perfect director for this. Mark Wahlberg and Matt Damon auditioned for the role of Rico. But after 5 auditions, Casper Van Dien got the role. Verhoeven thought he reflected the look of a lot of the soldiers in the propaganda films he was inspired by. Denise Richards and Dina Meyer also auditioned around 5 times before being cast. Meyer's agent thought she'd be a good Carmen, but she wanted the powerful role of Dizzy. 6 of the main cast and 24 other extras underwent a 12-day boot camp led by a retired military man and military advisor for a lot of films, including Saving Private Ryan, Dale Dye. The cast were subjected to daily 3-mile runs, weapons training, and sleeping in tents exposed to bipolar temperatures day and night. Mm. Dale Dye, I mean, we'll get to him. He's got a little cameo in the film, too. It was cool to see him, like, in the movie and then read about him being, like, all the military training from... Yeah. Saving Private Ryan, Steven Spielberg, for Christ's sake.
Heck yeah.
Filming began on April 29th, 1996, in Hell's Half Acre, Wyoming, for most of the big battle Klandethu scenes, and was grueling on the cast and crew. Facing extreme temps in the daytime and nighttime, there was several cases of heat exhaustion almost every day. While on a plane back to L.A., one crew member got intoxicated and started yelling that there was a bomb on the plane.
Oh, cool.
You can't do that.
No.
The plane had to emergency land. The crew member was charged, and the rest of the cast and crew had to wait another day for a flight. Despite numerous other setbacks and holdups, principal photography concluded after 6 months on October 16th, 1996.
I'm just imagining, like, that person's like, oh, this will be funny because we're in progress. Like, oh.
Hey, Casper, check this out. Hey,
we're making a movie, assholes. Let's fucking have some fun, dude.
We're invincible. Like, what?
Oh, no, we're not.
Uh-oh.
Starship Troopers was released on November 7th, 1997, and on a budget of $105 million, the film made $120.21 million at the box office, spawned several sequels and other video games, plus an upcoming one, which I hear is going to be great.
All right.
I hope so.
Well, thanks, Sean. Up next, we got AJ. He does the research for us about critical fan ratings and reviews. What do you got, dude?
Well, it took 17 gallons, I think, of fake blood in this. It's only going to take so much for the tomato meter.
Gross.
Oh, that's fun every time.
Every time.
The blood of tomatoes, 70%. That's red.
It's a good.
That's just 70%.
That's tied with Mrs. Doubtfire. Slightly better than The Wedding Singer, slightly worse than The Fifth Element per any movie we've done.
Okay. I mean, so we're right in there.
It's in there. I feel those are good movies.
I feel like I watched The Fifth Element and this on like the same
you
night.
You probably did.
Yeah.
Actually, I feel like they're probably set right around the same year.
Yeah,
maybe they're in the
right.
same universe.
Yeah.
Hmm. Audiences agree 10 out of 10 that it is a 70%.
It's very rare.
So 100%
just Roger
agree
Ebert
that it
and
is.
A fan hugging going we finally did
we
it
we did it.
it's the Predator meme of them like locking grips.
Roger Ebert fans.
Roger's, fans.
Starship Troopers.
Make
that
it
happen.
So
make it happen.
All right. IMDb 7.3.
That's good, right? I mean, of any movie we've done, listen to this. It's tied with Big, Karate Kid, Dumb and Dumber, and Point Break.
AKA one of the greatest movies of all time.
Yeah.
Those are classics.
Yeah, it's just how it stacks. Yeah.
Big is like critically one of the best movies ever made.
Well,
as we found out.
There you go. See? Deal with it.
Trust us.
So is Starship Troopers now.
Starship Troopers.
We're already hammered.
Make any friends?
Make any friends?
Not really.
83 out of 100. Entertainment. Owen Gleiberman. That's his name. This movie, the movie is sensationally exciting, but it's, hey kids, let's put on a war storyline plays like Beverly Hills 90210 recast as a military recruitment film for the Third Reich.
Yeah, exactly.
So you get it.
Yeah, he does get it. Is he saying that's a negative?
That was 83 out of 100.
I'm okay, just throwing it out there. I do think a lot of people did not get this, just like I did.
Yeah. Okay. Like, I'm excited to dive into your thoughts on this. Mm-hmm. Guys, Roger Ebert gave this a full review. He gave it a lot of time. Basically gave it a 5 out of 10, 1 out of 2, whatever. Starship Troopers is the most violent kiddie movie ever made. I call it a kiddie movie not to be insulting, but to be accurate. It's action, characters, and values are pitched at 11-year-old science fiction fans. That makes it true to its source. It's based on a novel for juveniles by Robert A. Heinlein. I read it to the point of memorization when I was in grade school.
Whoa.
I have improved since then, but the story has not. He goes on to say, it's one-dimensional. We smile at the satirical satirical asides, but where's the warmth of human nature? The spark of genius or rebellion? If Star Wars is humanist, Starship Troopers is totalitarian.
Yeah, as we'll get into it, I think that this is like more of a movie that's more interesting to talk about than it is to like rewatch, maybe. You know what I mean? Because there like some people who just don't get the satirical element of it are just like, no, this is a bad movie. But the action scenes are good. And then the people who do get the satirical element are like, this is a genius.
But is that... Yeah, we'll get into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's some good. There's some bad. Let's do some good. This was a very, very recent review. 10 out of 10. Well-deserved classic. Niffy bone pivibiva. It's just a lot of random letters, guys. I don't know. Somebody likes...
If you can actually find that, yeah. Good on you.
NHPY. Like
Bruce Almighty's words. Yeah. Falls on the teleprompter. Niffy boom.
I have loved this movie ever since childhood. It's called a well-deserved classic. I've loved this movie ever since childhood. It's funny and epic and still holds up today. The CGI is amazing, and I don't say that very often. Mm. Hard to believe this came out just a few years after Jurassic Park.
It is hard to believe.
I need to clarify. This is May 2nd of 2023.
Wow.
So.
On the pulse.
Yes. Made a proud 4K purchase of it this year.
Nice. Good for you.
Every time I watch it, I notice something important or something different. Denise Richards alone is an absolute goddess to watch. Bad actress or not.
Yeah.
It's like, well, okay, right. Tell us how you really feel. It's a great satirical look at the military mindset of the crazy Nazis. The crazy thing is that the crazy Nazis today watch this and find it inspiring, even though the original writer was 100% criticizing and poking fun. Watch with an open mind and enjoy. Also, the lieutenant definitely sent that comms dude to his death. What the hell?
Yep.
Yeah.
We'll get there. He didn't like that guy. This person felt it was an amazingly accurate military movie, said Paul W. Duncan. Starship Troopers is an accurate military movie. Spoilers, by the way. It lives with To Jarhead and Full Metal Jacket in terms of military movies. Yet it puts a new sci-fi twist on it. This is also the origin of the Dear John letter or Dear Johnny letter in the movie. A term used through the military to describe when a girlfriend or boyfriend breaks up with them.
No, I thought it was John Deere letters.
John Deere letters?
I don't know. I wasn't listening.
Some crap about me not listening. Oh, I wasn't really paying attention. When they're in training or boot camp. So this movie could be less enjoyable to non-military audiences. Mm. It is possible that there could be a disconnect between the movie and other movies. This is still one of the best military-style movies and represents the true pinnacle of the genre.
Okay.
Respect.
1 out of 10. What a crap fest. This person disagrees. Awful movie. Going by the rating and reviews, I thought I'd give it a shot. I can't believe I watched all of it. I will never get that time back. Mm. It's a world of giant bugs versus human beings. Wish I had rather sniff someone's fart instead of watching this tripe.
What?
No, come on. Still not that fun.
All right, last one. 1 out of 10. Shane Rooney said, this is a badass sci-fi movie.
Sweet.
Warning spoilers.
Okay.
Okay.
Dark humor. We'll go
wait,
ahead.
Is this a bad comma ass movie? Is that what he means?
No, he missed the punctuation.
Okay,
all right.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's an ass movie. No, he's just a badass movie.
Okay.
So, warning. Spoilers. Dark humor and absurd action. This is a really great movie. It's definitely not for kids. I had a crush on the girl when I was a kid. The girl.
Yeah, the one.
Watching it for the first time the other day. Wait. Watching it for the first time the other day. I can't believe it. The flying bug only makes an appearance once. Unfortunately.
Got a point there, man.
That was the spoiler. On the bright side, plenty of
anyway.
Oh, great. You ruined the movie.
Oh, dang it.
So there's flying bugs. Fuck.
And they're only in there one time. They never come back.
I can't ever.
That doesn't spoil anything.
You're watching the movie.
It's like
after reading this review, you're watching the movie like, oh, I could have seen that coming.
That's
oh,
like that's shit. Like watching Three Ninjas and being like, their grandpa's good at karate. Oh, sorry, that's a spoiler. It's like, what? That doesn't ruin the movie at all.
That was a spoiler. Oh, good. So I can read on. On the bright side, plenty of explosions, violence and gore and colorful blood and plenty of goop. Man, I hate bugs.
Yeah. Yep.
Cue the Pearl Jam song from Vitalogy, Bugs.
Bugs.
It's such a terrible song. Well, is that it, AJ?
That's all I got, guys.
Well, it is time to dive into this movie scene by scene. But first, a shout out to our sponsor, Manscaped. Ooh. My friends, Father's Day is right around the corner. Whether you need something for your dad, your baby daddy, or just a nice reward to yourself for being the best damn father around, grooming products can be a great gift idea, and Manscaped is the way to go. Imagine giving your dad or husband a sleek, well-designed, and optimized grooming kit that says, "Your balls will thank you" on the box. Dad and mom both win in this situation when the beast can be tamed using Manscaped's Performance Package 4.0. Personally, I'm a pretty hairy guy. A lot of people know that. I just used the Lawnmower 4.0 to actually tighten up some of my chest and arm hair for summer.
Ooh.
Easy to use, and I love that fourth generation trimmer and the cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. Perhaps that is a little too risque of a gift and conversation for your family. If dad or baby daddy has a beard, then you have to get him the Beard Hedger Pro Kit. I've never trusted anyone with cutting my beard, so I do it myself, and it's time consuming, and I've never really known how to use it, and different razors are weird, but the Beard Hedger is the best thing I've ever used to keep my beard looking this good. Don't even have to pay anybody to have it.
The number guard system they have on that thing is revolutionary.
Amazing.
I love
Ingenious.
It.
Yeah.
Even the Weed Whacker 2.0, the nose and ear hair trimmer, is something that I use every day. Like any male hitting 30 or older, weird hair starts growing in weird places. You got to take care of it. And this is the easy way to do it and clean it up on your own. We honestly love Manscaped. We love these products. They're must-haves for any guy. Sometimes males are a little too proud or embarrassed to buy stuff like this, so just buy it for them. The dads in your life deserve some grooming to make them feel like hot stuff this summer. Give them a gift you know they'll use. Go to manscaped.com. Use code CONFUSED for 20% off and free shipping on anything. Seriously, you're not only getting an incredible product for a discounted price, but you're also directly helping our podcast out by showing that our fan base is amazing at supporting sponsors like Manscaped who take a chance on our show. So seriously, go to manscaped.com. Use code CONFUSED for 20% off and free shipping. Go do it. Well, my dudes, that transition from high school to the real world is an important time in everyone's lives. I'm not sure where we'll all go, what we'll all do with our lives, but let's make a vow. No matter what, we'll always be friends.
Okay.
All right.
Done with that.
All right.
Here we go.
My hands are always clammy.
It's fine. Started.
It's hot out.
I'm nervous.
In the 23rd century, Earth is governed by the United Citizen Federation. Citizenship is gained only through federal service, which grants rights. Humans are in conflict with a race of highly evolved bugs. We meet Johnny Rico and his friends who are about to graduate. After a sports ball game, Rico goes against his parents' will and follows his girlfriend Carmen into military service.
Okay, so the the propaganda videos and like the propaganda machine that starts off this movie,
yeah,
like gets you into like the universe right away. But it also, when I first watched this movie, it freaked me out because of that kid, like and me too, and they all laugh. I'm like, because then they cut to people getting ripped apart by bugs.
Are you like, are
they
like,
let kids do this?
Are they like, no, tell me that's a joke. Tell me they're laughing because of course you can't serve little Billy. And you're exactly. Like, I don't know.
They never let you off the hook
he's
of
in
that.
Full regalia. It looks like he's serving. God.
This whole would you like more thing is nuts because it's like predictive of advertising and news stories that are happening right now. It's literally like, hey, here's something cool. Do you want to know more? You better click on this.
Or here's something scary and terrifying.
Click.
You should probably know more about this.
You need
to
know
more.
Do you want to? I know you do. Click on this.
Yeah.
It's headline clicking to a T.
It's exactly.
Very specifically.
This is 97. Like, that was not a thing back then. They were just like, here's the full news story. Enjoy.
Do you know how many people don't click I want to know more? They just read a headline and didn't just form an opinion
today. Yeah, and go straight to the comments.
And they're like, oh, this is bullshit. I'm going to talk about it like I know everything. That's what they do.
Well, and I love if you want to talk about some of the smartness of this, like, again, I didn't notice it on first watch through, but then you read about it and then you go back and you're like, oh, cool. But I loved, like, They really incorporate a lot of kind of political stuff. Like, they talk about how Mormons went and established a colony.
Mormon extremists.
Mormon extremists. And then they got, like, killed. Yeah. I love it. I fucking love when some fucking kid goes to that island, like, off of Africa where no one's ever been, and they're, like, cannibals. They're I'm going to teach them about the Lord. And they die. I fucking love it.
Yeah.
I love when people are like, I'm going to impose my religion on these people. They need it.
I'm with you.
And so I love that they made a commentary.
Guys,
about
I think if we just pray for the unpredictable monster bugs, they'll be our friends.
Well, they're going to prey on you, so that's fine.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's what we want,
right? No, you don't get it.
I think I get it. Well, we're going to go. See you later.
don't wait. He's gone too far.
Killed with a blow dart.
Yeah.
Fucking, it makes me happy. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah.
It makes me happy. I'm with you, man. I love that.
Joy.
No, it does. That's they're like, great. 23-year-old devout Christian man, Shane Turdmans. Took his canoe over to Don't Go Island and was killed instantly.
It's another word for don't go there.
It's like, we have footage showing him coming on the beach holding a Bible and killed with 37 arrows. You're like, cool.
Great. It was called Jamunka, which is Algonquin for don't go there.
Don't go there.
Don't go island. I love though, like, again, I've never seen this movie. Like, this feels like Saved by the Bell in space.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
It's weird. Like, is this a teenage movie?
I think it is. I think the casting is fucking brilliant. Mm-hmm. Like, Michael Muldoon was in 90210, right?
So he was in 90210, and he was also Jeff in Saved by the Bell. He was the one that stole Kelly from Zach.
Oh, okay. It is
in
Michael
Saved by
Muldoon,
the Bell.
Right?
Or no, Patrick Muldoon.
Patrick
right?
Muldoon. Okay,
yes.
Sorry. I'm looking at Michael.
He's Xander Barkalo.
Okay. Xander.
Xander.
But yeah,
with an X.
With like Casper Van Dien, it's like it is like a 90210 episode. Yeah. If like it was a one off of like they go to space and it's fucking violent as shit.
Yeah.
You know? I think it's absolutely fucking brilliant, especially putting like Michael Ironside in the middle of all this, being like the hard badass from RoboCop, you know? I think it's brilliant casting.
I will just talk about Casper Van Dien and Denise Richards. They do look like they were drawn.
Yeah.
And then they said, okay, now 3D printing, make this. And there were no imperfections. They're just gorgeous people.
AI, make an attractive person.
You get it. ChatGPT, will you just create the perfect male and female like counterparts? Great. There we go. We got it. Awesome. Everybody looks like that, though, in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Stay tuned, fans. I've got a fan theory that I found on the old Reddit that kind of deals with that. We'll hit on the end.
Okay.
It's pretty interesting.
I'm excited to hear that. Heck yeah.
What do you think about Jump Ball?
I don't understand it.
Nothing makes sense.
Is it just, it's just like football, but like the farm league football, like arena football?
It's arena football.
I don't know. It's high school, though. And okay, so I hockey's my favorite sport, and I rip Mighty Ducks apart. Okay, go back to the episode. I ripped Quidditch apart. I have to rip Jump Ball apart. There is one. This field appears from what I can do. I paused it. There's only 3 yards till there's a long line. You know, normally in American football, there's 5 yards till a line. So that means the field is 24 yards long. On the last play of the game, they're on the 4 yard line. So that means there's only 20 yards to go. He is at least 15 yards down the field when he catches that ball. And then he runs at least another 15 yards before Xander tackles him. Yeah. The math is not, you know, this is very Point Break beach scene, yeah. You know, where he catches the ball and Keanu keeps running and he keeps running.
Keeps going.
It's like the field's not that long, guys. Yeah. Come on.
Like you gotta, somebody throw down a t-shirt so it can be the goal mark. You know what I mean?
He didn't see it.
He didn't see it, I guess. Now, jump ball, the name makes as much sense as like football in America.
True.
You know what I
mean? True. Like,
yeah, let's call it football. Well, when do you use your feet? Oh, like once or twice a game.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. Sometimes not ever.
I don't know. But it's and then they're playing what I thought was really cool is they're playing with those Nerf wiffle balls.
Yeah.
Whistle balls.
Those are cool as hell.
I'm like, oh, that's dope, dude. That's great. We should have high school games that incorporate
those
that.
Those have to be aerodynamic.
He's got the Jofa helmets on.
Oh, yeah, Jofa helmets. That's the ugly ones.
Those
yeah.
are great.
The Yamir Yagers.
Yamir Yagers. Never switched. Yeah, I mean, at this point, like, I hate Xander. He's almost like a punchable face for me. I'm not gonna include it. But he's like the archetypal sort of like, I'm going to get your girl kind of thing. Like, even after he's done with the play, he goes over the sideline. He's like, so anyway, what I was saying was I'm going to probably sniff your panties later or something. She's like, oh, my God.
I've seen cartoons like that.
You're in flight
this.
School? Holy shit.
But also, fuck Carmen, too,
honestly,
by the way. Like,
yes.
She just, like, she's flirting with multiple people throughout this movie.
She could be a punchable face. I'm just putting it out there.
Equal opportunity punching here.
Oh yeah, I've punched kids. I've punched women,
old
not,
people.
Not in real life. In fake world.
Clip that, Craig. Clip that and put that on the internet for Mike.
But what's weird about Patrick Muldoon, Xander, when he stole Kelly Kapowski and Saved by the Bell, like he was a. I remember going, my God, that's a beautiful man. Like, how is Zach going to keep up with that? But like, I don't feel like he's good looking in this movie. I mean, and that's coming from a guy who's not good looking.
I
so
truly
take that
think
with
that
a,
it's his haircut. Not
is
to,
it?
Not to be specific about it, but then he's also like, especially in this scene, when we first see him, he is like sticky sweaty.
He's sticky
like,
sweaty.
It looks like the sweat is sticky. You know those kind
it's
of people
gross.
Where it's not just like watery. It's like it looks like it's viscous on them. You know,
he's also very grumpy in the fact of like everybody's just running into him for some reason. That's very comical to me. So he's like, yeah, ding it in, get the girl, get off of me. This is very funny to me. I don't know why. But at what point they say he's like, hey, what are you doing after the game? It's like, well, everyone's going to the dance, aren't you? What are these teams from? Is it? We had another movie that there was like, what,
it
teams
was,
go to high school dances?
Teen Wolf.
Teen
yes,
Wolf.
Yes. Where like Mick's from another school in another city or something like that, and he gets to go to all the stuff.
Yeah, and he just gets, so they're all going to the dance. Apparently those guys want to celebrate their loss. I don't know what the heck's going on. The game finishes up. I don't know about you guys. Anytime there was a game, it was like it was nighttime.
Yeah.
And then we cut to him getting ready at daytime, putting on his tux. What's going on?
I don't know.
There's no like semblance of time here.
It's like, well, I got to get home early. I got a game at 7 a.m.
I got a shower.
Where everyone's going to come. At 7 a.m.
Everyone's coming?
On a Sunday.
In typical Hollywood fashion, though, Casper Van Dien, Dina Meyer, and Patrick Muldoon, do you know how old they are or when they made this movie?
Oh, yeah. 35.
They had to have been like mid-20s.
They were 29.
Oh, God.
Passing as high schoolers. I mean, that's... I'm sure you believed it when you were in high school, which is weird because you're like, my friends don't look like that, but whatever. I'm cool.
Oh, they're
that.
Definitely... Well, because I'd be like in middle school or something. And I'd be like,
those are high school.
Yeah, that's what high schoolers look like. Yeah, everyone looks older to me.
It's true. It's true.
When you're a kid, like you see a senior in high school and you're in seventh grade, you're like, that guy has full job.
Facial hair.
I still think that. Like, I deliver to construction sites, plumbing supplies, and I see like contractors out there, and they like have a scruffy beard, and like they just look like bags under their eyes and stuff. I'm like, oh man, that guy's like way older than me.
They pick up a kid and hold it like,
yeah, exactly. It turns out he's like 3 years younger than me. I'm like, fall.
Turns out the guy's like 17.
Like, do I look like that to some people? Yeah, it's that.
It's that.
I, I love the commentary on this movie about how high school seems like the most important years of your life. And like, but it's so weird to me because his family, his rich ass fucking family basically says, listen, don't go to war. You're going to die. Let's be rich together and let's go on a vacation to the place you've always wanted to go. And let's do that. And he's like, no,
I don't want your life.
Exactly. Yeah. No, you could, like, he's like, you're not going to the military. You're going to Harvard. It's like, you could interchange these things.
I know.
And it'd be like the same movie, but just not with war. You know what I mean? It would be like
anything.
It'd be like him going to
band, being in a band.
Well, his dad wants him to go to the military, but he wants to go to Harvard. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It could change it. And it would be another 80s movie, even though this came out in like 97.
But. And then he'd be pining. He's like, I should have gone to war.
What? My dad will never respect me.
You're not going to the military. You're going on vacation. And you're going to like it. No, I won't.
Excuse me. The beach.
You dropped your privilege. It's all over there.
Oh, shoot.
But let's be real. His parents are spot fucking on.
Yeah.
He's only going into the military to follow Carmen, full well knowing he'll never see Carmen again.
Yeah.
What is happening?
Stupidest
here?
Thing ever.
They all know. They're literally like, we'll probably never see each other again.
It's like it's his best chance to join the military to get closer to Carmen, but that's slim chance.
So here's his choices. Carmen goes to the military. He stays with his rich family and goes on vacation and meets another really hot chick.
Yeah.
Because he's fucking gorgeous.
Or like six of them, probably. Yes.
Or he proves his coolness to Carmen by joining the military and then dies within the next year.
Yeah.
And then Carmen clearly will never remarry because she'll always be sad about him.
Oh, no, yeah. But she'll fuck like crazy.
Yeah.
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 His parents are right.
And, like, maybe eventually they would have met up later, and she'd be coming back and be like, yeah, it was crazy. We saw a shit ton of bugs, and everybody died. And I don't know. How was it here? Oh, it was pretty dope. I've been going to the Outer Rings, like, every summer.
Dude.
And... it's just wild. But I also basically, you know, nepotism's like very much allowed in this world. So I just took a job at my dad's firm and I'm killing it. Turns out I'm a great lawyer. I don't know.
Me and my dad are actually on pretty good terms nowadays because like I'm killing it.
Yeah, I'm killing it. And it's like, well, yeah, a lot of people I know got killed too. No, I mean like I'm really good at my job.
I'm killing it.
Yeah.
You don't understand.
Yeah, no, see.
But you got it. Like this is also like high school students mm-hmm. going into what 100%. Is their college basically. Yeah. So it's like you're sending straight out of high school students into what is known from college to be the number one party time mm-hmm. of your life, mm-hmm. you know, like that doesn't make sense. But in this like fascist sort of like federation kind of world, it is funny how you need to be in the military to become a citizen. It's really smart.
Let's talk about that. Cause that was, I almost wish they would have spent more time talking about that.
I agree.
Because that's an interesting concept to me where, from what I'm understanding is, unless you join the military, you can't have rights like voting.
Right.
You can't have kids.
Can't have kids. That was crazy.
Easier to get a license is what they said.
Yeah, like, yeah. And I want to know more about that. Like, mm-hmm. that's the story I kind of want to hear.
Read 1984, I guess.
But. Okay, yeah. Yeah, but like that's crazy. But then I think you also understand that maybe like rich people can have a way around that or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I
that's sort
right.
of implied too, right?
Somebody, yeah, exactly. And somebody described this as a futuristic oligarchy.
Okay. Mm.
Yeah. So, and oligarchs, I'm going to butcher this, guys. I don't know anything about
history time. Let's do this.
No, I don't know anything about like, you know, Russian politics or anything like that. Right. But oligarchs are they're like lobbyists and like richer, like wealthier people in this world,
yeah.
right? In the world. And like they're very influential and they can pull the strings and that's
Illuminati.
Who it is. Illuminati. Thank you. Thank you.
And Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, the Masons. Stunties. And it's like, but like, that's the kind of thing. It's like, oh, you can go in and become a citizen and that's your way through their system to become, go through the military and become a citizen. Or you are basically, you're rich, like his parents. Probably.
Yep.
He doesn't have to do this.
He does. They pretty much imply, they're like, you don't have to.
When we talk about the shower scene, we'll have more to talk about on it. You know what
sure.
I mean?
Like, we'll have a lot to talk about.
Hell
the shower
yeah, dude.
Scene.
All right.
Let's move on to scene two. The friends split up and go their separate ways, except for Dizzy and Rico, who are enrolled in infantry. During basic training, Carmen breaks up with Rico after developing feelings for Xander Barkalo. Rico earns a promotion to squad leader, but makes a mistake during a training exercise, which causes the death of one of his squad members. Rico resigns from the military, but reconsiders after learning that an asteroid sent by the Arachnids has destroyed Buenos Aires. Killing Milliams.
Milliams.
Okay, that's fine. Did you know who Sergeant Zim is?
Yeah.
Yeah, Clancy Brown.
Clancy Brown. You know, the way I know Clancy Brown is Shawshank.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
And he is such, like, he plays that guy so well. The like, intimidate. Like, the first thing you see him in this, he's the same guy almost.
Oh, yeah.
That, what did you say?
Yeah, very true.
And that intimidating look. I fucking love him in this movie.
Yeah.
I love his character arc, too, as we go through
it's
here.
It's crazy to see him in movies because, like my fiance was watching this with me, and she's like, where do I know his damn voice?
Mm.
And I'm like, okay, think about it a little bit. Like, keep listening to him. She's like, is that Mr. Krabs? I'm like, yes, it is Mr. Krabs. It's so funny to see him do these like tough guy roles, but then like know that he's the fun loving Mr. Krabs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is a fun loving guy just altogether in life. I had a similar conversation with my wife. I said, do you recognize him? He's the big bad in spoilers. He's the big bad in the new Dexter stuff. He's in Dexter.
So good in it too.
And then after that, you're like, I was like, what else do you know? Because you catch it. Every time you miss your mommy, that's Mr. Krabs.
Exactly.
She's like, oh, wow, okay, yeah, it's great. He is great in this. Mm-hmm. He always plays that badass, and I would never, ever, ever challenge him if he openly put it out there.
No, he just beats the fuck out of
me. I feel like I could do this.
This is one of those moments that my brother was describing to me about Clancy Brown and this guy. As well as like all the boot camp scenes he's talking to me about, I'm like, yeah, I'm never going into the military. He's like, yeah.
Who is describing this to you, Bob?
Yeah,
your brother?
My brother Bob.
Okay,
yeah.
And he went into the military, didn't
he? Yeah, he went into the Air Force.
I want this.
Yeah, he's I might as well.
He's a Clindathu veteran.
It's all right. Hey, dude, Fleet does the flying. You know,
I'll tell you what, your brother is a good looking guy too. He might be like the Rico of his military squad.
He might be.
I have to
he
believe
might
be. That. I have to.
I know. He's like, if it was twins, he'd be like Arnold and I'd be Danny. You know,
it's actually really.
If we were doing like Mario Brothers, he'd be Luigi and I'd be Mario, but not a good Mario.
Hey, Mario's girl is pretty hot.
Oh man!
All right.
Yeah, but he just cannot hold on to her.
I want to talk about, speaking of that, I guess.
More Mario? Okay. Let's talk about my life. And
Let's talk about more about that. Dizzy comes up to Johnny and is like, why didn't we never get together? You know, like, she obviously has this crush on him. Why didn't we never get together? I just want him to say, like, Carmen's hotter. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it is. Because that's what it is, right?
I'll be honest with you. I'm Team Diz.
Yeah, okay. I'm Team Diz too. Yes. Well, and okay, but I wonder though, were you Team Diz at a younger age?
Of course not.
Okay, because we've done this before where I wish I could remember what movie it is, where the movie's obviously showing you this one woman and being like, she's the hot one, you should root for her. Where I Diz is the one.
No, I'm with you guys. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
From his perspective, like, Carmen is hotter.
From high school, young Rico.
I'm the hot one in the school. I need to date the hot one in the school. Dizzy is where it's at.
She's the total package.
Yeah.
And by the way, she is also basically doing her own Rico story. Did you hear what they're saying? Like when they're dancing. So where are you gonna end up? Are you gonna go play for Brazil?
Yeah.
Because she's very good at playing jump ball.
Yeah.
And so she's a quarterback. And it's like, you're going to go play for Brazil? Well, unless Tokyo wants to start me. So she has a future in athletics.
Yeah. And she throws
her shit away.
Yeah.
Chasing Rico, who's chasing Carmen.
Which is a little creepy.
Rico's like, that's fucking creepy. And you're throwing your life away. Anyway, Carmen.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
So I followed you. And,
It's like, so are we going to
What? You just
going to
follow me in everywhere? Hey, have you heard from Carmen yet? Or
what the fuck? Is she talking about me? I want to talk about the Federation oath as well, because I feel like when, because it's a whole group of them like spouting off this, I feel like it's very long-winded. Mm-hmm. I feel like it could just be like the Pledge of Allegiance, which is pretty simple. You learn it in fucking elementary, you know? I just feel like it's like so long-winded, like Cyrus the Virus is doing it or something, or it's just yeah. like, I have been duly advised by taking this oath, I am in service of my brothers and sisters, and to uphold the sanctity of our world on the good days and even the bad days. Like when your tire blows out, but you don't have AAA and your phone is dead, so you have to walk to the nearest town, but that town doesn't have your size tire, so you have to stay in the town, and but it's cool because you meet a cute girl at the diner, and you two hit it off. Eventually, you become the mayor of the town along with the cute diner girl, and so basically what I'm saying is you take the good with the bad, and that's what I'll do as a citizen.
For 2 years,
over
or
out.
Longer if I have to, because if I have to, I mean, it's fine, I'll do it. But I don't really want to, but I, as long as I get to where I want to go, if it doesn't take 2 years.
Over and out.
Amen.
I do. Amen.
Over and out. 10-4. Amen.
That made me laugh a lot when we talked about that in the last episode of like where he just keeps going, stop talking. Just get it over with.
Slow down.
You know, well, and here, this might fit into my theory later a little bit too, but like, there's weird special treatment that is granted to the people that we know in this movie, right? So like, why does Diz get to be like, oh yeah, I'd like to transfer to that one, and they're like, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, of course.
And the same with like Xander.
Yeah,
what the how is Xander all of a sudden like the leader of all flight schools and shit, and he's like this high-ranking guy?
What kind of name is Xander anyway? It sounds like he's a xenomorph.
Exactly. I said his name starts with an X. Yeah. That's for sure. No, but you're right. It's like, we didn't hear anything about an ROTC program. Like, what the hell is going on here?
It's only been like a week.
It's been a week.
And he's like the commander of the fleet.
Yeah. And by the way, if we, you know, we talked about this this shoulder rubbing train of people was wanting to bang each other, and you got Carmen who's just at the forefront. Rico's chasing her, and you think Diz is the caboose, but no, it's actually Carl. Okay, it's actually
Neil Patrick Harris.
It's NPH. Fucking Doogie. The NPH, who is awesome, by the way.
Yeah, so good.
But you see him in this movie because he came, like, people were like, oh, Doogie Howser and stuff. And then he plays the smart guy here. Seems a little unfair that he's psychic and, you know, oh, of course you're smart, you dick.
They had to step it up from MD, you know, yeah. Psychic.
Well, we'll just take him to a psychic. He's not just a genius boy doctor. But he's chasing Diz, and he is just trying. He's just like sneaking in like, hey, yeah. here I am. They get the dance and shit.
Get away, nerd.
Get away, nerd.
So they when he's like recruiting or like going into like the thing or whatever, like they're going into the boot camp, I guess.
Yep.
They see the guy there, and he's like, oh, you're in the infantry. That's great. And he's all mangled and shit, like with his arm off and both legs. Of his legs. It's just, that is very...
Made
like,
me the man I am today.
Exactly. See, like, there's that, but then the visual juxtaposition of him saying, like, you'll have honor in your life, but you'll come out, maybe not unscathed, you know? I think that's the fear of, like, going into the military in general, which I think is perfectly... captured in this moment where it's that decision.
It's honor, but also
there's a great risk, you know, as a human being. Yeah. But and even in this is like, but is the risk worth it? Is like the enemy that we're fighting are actual bugs, you know, like and like we'll get more into it. But the enemy being bugs, they're like no good bug is a dead bug or whatever. Like
the only good bug's a dead
thank
bug.
You.
Yeah.
But like people say that about like when the Iraq war was going on.
Yeah.
The only good whatever was a dead one. And it's like horrible.
Yeah.
But like reducing them to bugs is fucking brilliant in this moment. You know, I love that look at it.
You
a
know,
lot.
He was promised that like he might get mangled in the process, but he was also promised that he will have co-ed shower scenes.
Exactly. You got
nice.
To.
Okay. Tight.
This,
tight.
I got to ask you, because watching
speaking
this
of
even
privilege.
As watching this easy, as a 40-year-old, I was like, fucking tight. This is awesome. But like, I can't imagine what this was like as a 16-year-old kid. It's like seeing just boobs everywhere. And like, this is kind of cool. The future that they portray, though, because this is clearly... This isn't the first time they've done this. This is normal. This is equality of genders. where you've got the shower scene. You also have mixed gender sports teams.
Yeah.
That is just, this is totally normal.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool. I like that they do that.
It's a progressive, a progressive look at this. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that is, if that's exactly what everybody's asking for, whether they realize it or not.
Yeah.
Like, so is this cool? Because seems cool.
It seems cool.
Everybody seems cool with it.
I think you can look at it as progressive, but I think you could also look at it as like dehumanized.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like these people are just like of the cause, mm-hmm. you know, they're, and that's all no, that there is.
Point.
Yep. They've been indoctrinated to this thinking of we have to exterminate our enemy and nothing else matters. Not even the sanctity of morals anymore.
Yeah.
You know, but boobs and shit are fucking tight.
Boobs are tight, dude.
Boobs and dongs, right, guys? I mean, like,
love them both, man.
Can we just talk about boobs and dongs?
So
for
did
a little
you
bit?
Guys
no.
did you guys see like the unedited cut of it?
I don't know,
because I think the one that like you can stream is the edited one where like you don't see any dongs, you just see tits.
Oh, there's no dongs,
right? And I think the one that like the unedited one is on YouTube. So if you want to go see some dick, go look it up.
I check it out.
It's funny because YouTube, you know, if I did that right now, they would censor us. But yeah, if
it's
go,
under a movie, guys,
yeah,
this is art.
You can totally go watch it.
That's right. Totally go watch it.
What do you guys think about Gary, not Gary Busey, Jake Busey?
Old Jake Busey. I think he just made the cut for not getting aborted on this or something. Like.
What? Excuse me, what did you just say?
By this,
excuse me.
By this,
very late
totalitarian government that said, "Look, he's close." You're gonna have to understand that we have a certain, you know, bar that we set for our race this human race.
He's more chatterbox Cenobite than he is human.
Cenobite. Look, he's got a lot of teeth.
I don't know how to say it. Like,
it's like, no, I'm sorry. I fucking love Jake Busey in this. I don't at first, but you're
great.
Not supposed to. But
you're
I love his fucking character in this so much, and I think he plays it so well.
This is the height of Jake Busey's career, in my opinion. 96 to 98, he's Twister, Contact, Starship Troopers, Enemy of the State.
Holy fuck, he is in Twister.
And like those four movies, like, here comes Jake Busey. Oh, no, no, he didn't.
Yeah, true.
He's disappeared. He's gone.
Like, but yeah, like, I don't know. I was thinking about like his character, and there's a couple points too. Well, yeah, this is the point where there's been a death in the squad.
Yep.
And when he takes this is an ongoing theme, and I feel like it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who it is or how it happens. You want to climb rank, and I can't tell. When I was a kid, I didn't think of it this way. But now as an adult, I watched it a few times, and I'm like, does Jake Busey, he has that squad leader badge now, and does he give a smirk smile, or is he given like a kind of thing?
Mm. Mm. I think he's given a smirk smile in the moment where he's like, it's not real yet. He has the title in mind, but he hasn't earned it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He wants, because he wanted to be squad leader for a stint of time.
But Rico took it.
Right.
Right.
And then he got it now since Rico lost it,
yes.
And it seems like he's good with it.
You act the part and then get the title.
Yeah.
You don't get the title.
And he's got a smirk thinking like, cool, I got it because, you know,
yeah.
It doesn't matter how.
And then when it becomes real, I think he flips 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that whole scene of like the death now where the dude gets shot in the face.
I guess I'm big and dumb.
Because I'm big and dumb.
Well, first of all, does he get shot in the eye?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what the fuck did the helmet, what was that going to do?
Nothing.
That's what I'm saying. And also, it just seems really weird that they're using live ammo rounds where people are just like working out along the side of the training ground. And
yeah.
And first of all, why are they fighting humans when they're fighting bugs? We're going to fight bugs.
I don't know. And I like it was so fucking funny to me. Just be like, he gets his head blown off. Everyone can see that. And someone yells, medic!
Yeah.
I'm like, no. It's not.
It's not gonna work. Nothing, I'm so
no one,
sorry.
No one's ever gonna be able to put that together.
Just pull a Wayne's World. Be like, car, stop the thing. I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
Just say something like that because it's done. There's no medic that's going to... They can't put one of those fluid things like he did on his arm. Did you guys see that?
Yep.
And his hand.
They did have some cool technology of like rebuilding some...
Yeah. They don't have a head one of those.
No, they don't have that for your brain yet.
Yeah. No.
It's too bad, really.
Once you're gone, you know.
I also do have a question. So you've got Carmen and Xander up on the spaceship.
Uh-huh.
And there's that, there's a comet coming, an asteroid, and they evade it. If you, I saw this somewhere, and unfortunately, I don't know who to credit. I think it might have just been like looking up fan theories, but somebody was saying that their impact with the asteroid in space, where you change trajectories just by hitting something, that their impact actually changed the course of the asteroid and sent it to Earth.
Which
very well plays into the fact that a lot of people think that the bugs weren't even the ones sending asteroids.
We've never heard of that until now.
What?
Like that they hurl asteroids towards Earth.
Well, they kind of said it. They're like, they've been throwing asteroids.
Hurl another asteroid.
But we never actually see them do it. So like, was this just complete happenstance that they're like, oh fuck, an asteroid's coming. We'll blame it on the bugs.
FYI, they weren't even supposed to be on that fucking course.
Yeah.
Because she changed the course.
So did Carmen literally fuck everything up?
She started a war.
She killed shit. She killed Casper Van Dien's parents.
Ugh. Yep. Probably killed her parents, too.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, her family's from there, too.
Maybe she wanted to.
Maybe.
Maybe she's a bug.
She only wanted the core three in her life ever.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's be friends. Forever.
Yeah.
No one. Only us three. And you got to think we learned a lot from like Armageddon too. Like, couldn't they have sent a team of drillers up to that asteroid and like blown it apart?
Honestly, I don't know. We did that in what? 2002, 2001?
That was like 99.
Yeah. I mean,
that was 300 years ago.
The technology was definitely there.
I've also got two things for this. Number one, it's like this whole thing happens and it's terrible. And it's like, mom, dad, I want to get home. I've been an idiot. And it's like, hey, don't talk like that. I thought this is a very nice little scene. It's like, hey, don't talk like that. You know, you just come on home. You know, everything will be just fine. And they're like, oh, no, weather coming in. And so it's like, it splits away. It's like, oh, call interrupted, AT&T. And it's like, God, not even in the future, nothing works. Fucking phone service.
Oh, well.
Why do they have AT&T out here? It should be Verizon. I don't know what's going on. And then, by the way, they also can't make these calls. Mail is on CDs.
Mm-hmm.
On GameCube discs. That's what they're
mini
on.
Mini discs? Yeah.
Of all this technology and like super, super space travel, because this base has to be somewhere like crazy.
So instead of sending it via the universe, there's a courier service.
They snail mail
it's like
it.
FedEx. FedEx has a ship that just goes light speed. They come to you, they go, what do you got in there? Pile this laser disc, he goes, it just shows up. So it's really fast. Like, it's fast delivery.
It's like,
next day, you go on to Amazon Prime, you're like, next day, universe. And he's like, hi, shows me. He's like, what do you got for me? They're like, oh, just this mini disc. Light speed.
Slow day today. I'm going all the way to Clandestine 9 to deliver this bullshit.
Why are they sending it via CD? It's like that'd be like today. It's like, why are you faxing that? Why do you just email it?
Email me. Well, fax is what we do.
Oh, well, you know, it's like, oh, would you send that via Pony Express? What the hell's going on here?
I just thought that the whole structure of this scene was so funny because he's like, I think I'm coming home, mom and dad. And they're like, come on home. Is that rain? Asteroid. Boom. He's like, I'm back in it now. This is personal.
Yeah.
You know,
this is personal.
I think it was like strategically edited to be funny.
Yes.
And I like that about it so much.
As we've learned from Armageddon, this would be a global killer.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Like, Not just Buenos Aires.
Just the city.
Oh, Buenos Aires is wrecked,
It's
bro.
The size of Buenos Aires, sir.
Well, and like, I don't want to get that way because, like, I just for the record, I am not a believer in this. But, like, this propaganda that develops from this is eerily prophetic to, like, 9/11. And those kind of conspiracy theories. Like, what if that asteroid never even hit Earth and they just, like, nuked Buenos Aires real quick just to make their agenda happen, because it's very true. This is an agenda driven thing. They show the dead dog in the rubble, and they find the perfectly placed photo out of the rubble to be like, oh no, a family lived here and they're dead now.
They give you the key phrases too. Yeah. Like war on terror. You know, they give you all those key phrases to make you get that like the cycle going in your mind, you know, get that hate machine rolling so we can go get them, you know.
They use it all, like, throughout this entire time. Every time that pops up, it's all about, would you like to know more? And usually you actually see they don't want to know more.
They click somewhere else.
And they use all the buzzwords. War on terror, the Mormon extremists, like all these things. Yep. It is. It's propaganda driven. And the silliest thing to me was when they show that map of, like, there's Clindathew in a completely different system, and here's us, and they shot a straight beeline, direct, dead, one-shot, golden gun rules, shot right at Earth, and that's how they did it. And it's like...
Turns out it's Carmen.
How? It turns out it's Carmen. Yeah, yeah.
No, we put a rookie pilot on the day.
That puck was going five-hole, but it went top shelf. It went deflection by Carmen.
Yep, deflected by Carmen, right in top. Boy, she's really got to feel bad about that one, scoring on her own team.
We have to give a loving shout-out to Cedar Ridge Whiskey, who has been powering this podcast for probably 2 years now. You've heard us talk about them. It is the best whiskey ever made. This is my opinion. It's not actually written on the bottle, but this place, all their straight bourbon whiskey, their collaboration with Slipknot, their quintessential American single malt. Literally everywhere they go, they win awards. The single malt just won double gold in San Francisco.
Crazy.
They let us go hand choose a barrel. We picked a single malt that was aged in a rum cask. And I believe that's going to be shipping out here soon. And I also believe there's like 3 bottles left online. So, like, if you like whiskey and you like supporting us and you like supporting our sponsors, go check it out. There's a link in the show notes. But Cedar Ridge Whiskey, if you love it, if we're talking about Father's Day, if your dad is like a whiskey fan, get him a bottle. You can go to a store around the Midwest and get some. Otherwise, you can order them straight to your door from CedarRidgeWhiskey.com. Do it. They're the best.
You got to. CedarRidgeWhiskey.com.
CedarRidgeWhiskey.com.
So the propaganda video begins showing to warrant an invasion of Clindathew. The troops meet at a staging point. Rico and Carmen are united and a fight breaks out. The invasion force is deployed, but the military intelligence underestimates the arachnid's defense abilities, leading to thousands of casualties. I have to throw one thing out there just to shout out. That line of the movie for me was when she goes, "Goddamn bugs whacked us, Johnny."
Yes.
That is the title of an interlude track from Minus the Bears, Highly Refined Pirates.
Oh, no shit.
Yes.
And I never knew it because they were the original band for me that had the weird song titles.
Okay. Yeah.
Like Devil Wears Prada-ish.
Yeah. Like, and that Highly Refined Pirates is like 2001 or something like that. And that is the name of a song. Goddamn bugs whacked us, Johnny.
That's awesome.
So I got to shout them out.
That's a great line.
I love it.
Goddamn bugs whacked us, Johnny.
You've got his moment where he does come back in and everything for who's the guy? What's the guy's name from Breaking Bad?
It's Dean Norris.
Dean Norris.
Commanding officer.
Good job.
Yeah.
This is his second movie he's been in with us, you remember?
Really?
T2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. You were going to get it. I know. And I just had to say
I don't think I was.
I probably was.
Encino Man?
No, I love that. And this whole, I love the moment of Rico, is this your signature here? Is this a form you said? He's like, doesn't look like it to me. I'm like, now I know you're a good person.
Yeah.
Now I know you're a good guy. Well, kind of.
Sort of.
Well, then the fact that we'll get to it later where he's like, I want to fight. He's like, you got to become a private. And he's like, fuck it.
It's pretty cool.
Gets into that fight.
That was based on a true story.
Is it really?
Yeah. I mean, we can talk about it near the end, but I mean, that's based on, it was written based on true events.
Oh, cool.
Like of a person who actually did that. I can't remember his name, but there's a lot of I don't know if it was Roger Young, the name of the ship. I can't remember if it was him or it was a different person, but there was actually a person who went into battle. He had issues with like his vision and whatnot, and he ended up going in and saving people.
Oh,
he became like a Medal of Honor winner.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's cool. When they go into this whole battle, so we had a glimpse of it, like in the first like news coverage of it, they just get slaughtered, and I love the military like equipment that they have, like the mini nukes pretty much that take out like the huge walkers and stuff. what do you guys think about the design of the creatures themselves and the CGI that does bring them to life?
Dude, I actually thought it was really good. I think it, I don't know how to stack it up to what I would have thought it would have looked like, but I thought it looked very believable. It reminds me of something, and I still don't know what it is, but it reminds me of another movie of what these creatures are like. Mm. But they were terrifying because it took, what, 10,000 rounds to kill one of them?
Yeah, exactly.
And they were fast as fuck. I thought I very much enjoyed the arachnids. Like, I thought they were pretty cool.
Cool.
I liked it, and like the CGI and the tech and everything that goes into it, I thought it was... I do think it still holds up to a degree, at least. I know they talked a lot about how the lighting was just really tough to deal with on these, and how like some of the rendering was just for rendering a shot of like of footage, like a frame of footage, took hours.
Jesus.
Like, and I'm talking almost sometimes beyond a day of rendering. And they were able to actually figure out some really intricate ways to make them look better and you know, speed that process up. I thought they looked great, though. The tanker ones, the big ones, yeah, or whatnot, that I thought those looked really cool. It was very believable. It made me think, like, yeah, I believe there's a planet out there with those things crawling all over it.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I think it does hold up, and like even like the minor maybe inconsistencies of like the lack of technologies that they had then still makes it charming for me, mm-hmm, because of what the movie is about.
Yeah,
you know, because it's like, I don't know. It just works well with the whole satirizing this, mm-hmm, thing. I don't know why. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It holds up like that for me. But yeah, like the animators were incredible. Like Phil Tippett is one of the head animators in this, and I think he worked on Jurassic Park a little bit, and then also he's got a movie on Shudder called Mad God, which he's been working like his entire life to do, and it's fucking amazing. Just like stop animation kind of stuff. But yeah, I agree with you guys.
Well, then question for you. My initial notes were once. So we saw the intro of the movie where it's this scene, but at the beginning, right? My initial notes were like, fuck that. Just start the movie and lead up to this. But I feel like maybe I changed my tune. Do you like that they do this, that the beginning of the movie is a flashback of this scene? Are we happy with that, or could they have just lived without it and just started the movie?
I think it's seamless. Are talking about like the propaganda aspect of it, uh-huh, like a cameraman actually showing you like war footage and like pumping it into your house, you know, and then you see the real life off camera, where it's like
that is pretty cool.
It, you know, it's like the two visions aren't equal.
Yes,
and like even though they're kind of showing the same thing, they're really not. And I love that aspect of it was shown, and I love that the scene had no music, where it was just like stark and real.
Yeah.
Like, cause they're right in the battle now, you know, almost like the Omaha Beach scenes.
Yeah.
I have to say this too, because he is listed as dead.
Yeah.
And that's part of the propaganda.
Exactly. Yes.
You know, yeah, like there's, I sometimes I get nervous about getting too deep into some stuff, but there is an inside and outside propaganda like awareness going on in this movie. And I, again, maybe that's too deep because I have seen this movie a lot. I've seen it a lot, but I think that's it, even another point of it of why they did that in the beginning, like what, mm-hmm, you're talking about. They want you to think like somebody died, you know, and maybe, I mean, upon viewing this, it's not like, I don't think this was ever an era of filmmaking that they're comfortable killing off a main character. But I think
I didn't know. This is my first watch. I'm like, oh, fuck, that was our main guy. Because watching it at the beginning,
maybe you don't know.
You don't know that Rico's the guy in the helmet. You're not going to make that connection first time.
You didn't make that connection.
I was like, oh, the guy died.
That jawline is pretty unmistakable, but you're right.
It's pretty
obscure.
When you play hockey, people look different in helmets.
Yeah, you're right.
Something about it. So then when I finally realized, I go, oh, shit, that's Rico. And then, oh, fuck, he died. And then I'm looking at the time like, oh, there's an hour left. What the fuck?
Yeah. And that's the thing, is like, that's part of the propaganda train even further. And God, that's so funny to me. Rico, you're dead.
Yeah.
I love that so much. And that's another reason why it's just like Jake Busey is that character to a T. He is the gung-ho all the way, kind of jarhead, as they say, ready to go. And he's excited that his buddy is listed as dead.
Yeah, and well,
what a funny thing.
Like, hey, Johnny, funny. You're dead. Isn't that awesome? He's like, I'd say most of none of this is awesome.
Yeah,
like
it's
I don't
not
know.
Cool being Luke Skywalker in this tube of goo. By the way, how many of these tubs of goo do they have for people? Because they got a lot of people out there that are fucking hurt.
Again, here's this privilege of our main group of characters.
Yeah, okay, yeah,
right. And we'll get to more of it. But speaking of Jake Busey. Like, the only thing worse than acoustic guitar guy at a party is violin guy at a party.
Oh, man.
Can you imagine being at a party and someone's like, no.
And it's not just a regular, like, violin. It's like an electric,
no,
stupid. It's got, like,
it's the one
it's got
from
like
Revenge of the Nerds.
It's got all
something.
Of its, like, presets built into it, so he can turn on the phaser.
Here's Wagon Wheel.
It looks like a bad guy from, like, Batman and Robin would play this thing. fucking George Clooney's
have
Batman.
Fun. That's an order.
Well, I want one more thing before we move on.
Are we to that scene right now?
No, not yet. Okay. So here's a weird moment. The fight between Rico and Xander is a cool fight scene. But this is when I noticed I didn't know what they were going for with sound design in this movie. Because do you notice that while they're fighting, Mazzy Star fade into you, like comes up slightly in the mix and then just goes away?
They don't make it super loud or apparent.
It's 5 seconds. What? First of all, why that song? Second of all, why not loud and more than 5 seconds?
Why not just do Dave Matthews Crash Into Me?
That's essentially you know, like, what they were doing with that. Mazzy Star fade into you. why was that a thing? Like that's not telling
know.
Anything.
I don't know. Maybe it's like I brought it up actually, in one episode recently where I'm just like some movies are like mandated from studios to have a song in there.
And let's
maybe
see Paul when Mazzy Star
like,
came out.
Maybe Paul Verhoeven was like, okay, we'll do that. And he's like, bring it up right here and bring it back down.
93. when did this movie come out?
97.
Oh, okay, weird. So 4 years later, like, ooh, Mazzy Star, I love that song.
Yeah, it's like this weird. Is this it's like a breakup. It's almost like a bad breakup. And the breakup just happens to involve a fist fight between two dudes, you know, like,
weird.
And I think they said like they wanted Carmen to have more of a relationship or more like budding.
You're right.
Like relation with Xander.
Yeah.
But people did not go for
people
it. They're like,
no, that.
That's not cool. Because then they
so
wanted
just
to
implied.
Yeah. And so we don't know. We just, it's whether or not you want to believe it that they bang. They bang. Come
they
on,
bang.
Guys. I mean,
I have one more thing.
Space
to say.
Is lonely.
On the deck.
One more thing to say about this like this mass casualty that's covered up and made to look fun for propaganda.
100,000 dead.
Yeah, exactly.
And counting.
We need you because everyone dies. Because
everyone
come here.
Died. We need more. We need.
They show a shot of like the commander, or, like the whoever, like general, pretty much, and it's just like. He's relieved of duty, and another one comes in, and another idiot comes in to do
same,
to do nothing.
Still being the puppet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I love how they show that.
To defeat the bug, we must understand the bug. Thanks, Freud.
Oh.
Like,
wow.
That's good. Cool.
Oh,
we're going to let's change
thousand,
over
1,000 year old philosophy. We're going to get into this.
Jesus. Good. What is this? A Walmart? We're going to change over management because one thing went wrong. Come
yep.
on, guys.
Yep.
Like, what's going on here?
One little person.
One
died.
Little person. 100,000 people die. We got 6 billion more. Come on. No.
We got these things called penises and vaginas, and they make babies. We can just make
right.
more of us.
In fact, we'll have our soldiers do it in the next scene.
Yeah, unless they look like Jake Busey. Then
then we'll have him play violin.
he's talented.
Last thing. Sorry. I need to talk about the music and the main theme.
Okay.
Big fan of it.
Yeah?
I love it. It is an epic soundtrack, like or like main theme of this. When they are charging that battlefield, they don't know what they're running into, mm-hmm. and they come off of those ships and they're dropping in, and you have the main guy, their lieutenant, who's like, leaves more bugs for us to kill. We're going in first, like that kind of thing. And it is just this epic all out run. And those, I'm telling you, baby, French horns.
Yeah,
French horns are the call of war. And love.
Yep.
Okay. And so that theme, though, is epic. And then it just, immediately takes a turn and it goes negative every single time. Yep. On cue, they cue it up every single time perfectly. When a starship gets hit, the big bugs come out. We're doing good.
No, we're not.
This isn't reflective light. Like, somebody made a big fucking mistake. Yeah. You know, that kind of stuff. It's so good, and it's so well-timed, and I want it as my alarm when I wake up in the morning.
I'm with you, man. I think it works totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So scene four, badly wounded, Rico is rescued by Lieutenant Ratchek. Ratchek, right? And brought back to health. Rico, Dizzy, and Ace Levy join Ratchek's Special Forces unit, the Roughnecks. Rico eventually earns the rank of corporal and becomes romantically involved with Dizzy. The Roughnecks respond to a distress call on Planet P, but are quickly overwhelmed by the bugs. Carmen and Xander recover the surviving Roughnecks by dropship, but not before Dizzy is killed.
Ratchek's up next.
if you're gonna be there, this is the group you want to be with. Yeah, right? Like, if we're already there, we might as well get with a badass group that's like all ready to die.
Yeah, get your orders. I want to change up my orders. I want to go to the Rough Riders, like Dizzy did.
Can you explain why Michael Ironside? Like, what does he know who these kids are? This is like 3 months later, right, from when they were at school.
So it's a year later.
Okay,
it's a little over a year later.
So it's a year later. This guy has been taught them all for an entire year of school.
Yeah.
And knew them well. And now all of a sudden, like, does he know who they are? He sure plays it off like he doesn't.
Is he just blinded by flashes of war? Like, what's going on?
And then how did he make it? And, like, how did he go from school teacher to, like, badass dude?
I think the Buenos Aires attack, like, kind of recruited a lot of...
Was he in Buenos Aires?
Shit. Yeah, I don't know.
Right. What the fuck is going on? How'd he get out?
Well, I think it's like a thing where it's like, oh, well, shit, this is serious. We need everyone we can get,
okay,
kind of thing. And so we're going to get
the
badass Ratchek.
He's just a high school teacher.
Well, yeah, so was Tom Hanks and Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah,
again,
yeah.
This is, let's dive into the propaganda arms, machine, man. Right? Ratchek absolutely called arms, baby. Like, he had to have been military. He has to be like some sort of citizen.
Something.
You have to think of him that way because
he's got an arm off.
And Rico even says in the dispute that he has with his dad's all pissed. He's like, "Who's that guy? Ratchek? What kind of name is that? Ratchek?
That's weird.
He's the one like telling you what to do and telling you that you should sign up for military service." He's like, "No." He kind of dissuades that. Well, reverse psychology. He kind of tells you to not do that.
He tells you to
make up your own mind. You know,
listen to the propaganda and then make up your own mind.
That's right. Because that's exactly what propaganda is it's what they tell you. Free will is the only real freedom we have.
Giving you a seed.
Make up your own mind. And it is your own choice. However, everything has been laid. The groundwork has been laid for you to make the choice that I want you to make. And that's what it comes down to. And then you see Ratchek right there and he is gung ho. One rule. Everybody fights. Or else I shoot you myself.
Yeah.
Nobody quits.
And that's the thing, too. Like, people like to be led. And people like a strong leader, you know? Like,
absolutely.
And if you're not a leader, like, especially you love to be led. Because if you're behind this guy, like we talked about in Saving Private Ryan, I would go anywhere with Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Like, I would listen to any command he says. And probably Ratchek, too. Because, one, a good leader not only, like, pumps up his people that he's leading, but also has time to let them have fun, which he does in this, you know?
Yes, he does.
And that's why people like him. And that's why that girl fucking decks Jake Busey in the face. Like, don't ever besmirch our leader ever again. Yeah. You know?
Do you think it's like a thing like Save It Private Ryan, like you said, where there's this running thing where everybody's trying to figure out what Ratchek did in his past life?
Sure, yeah.
And then and then Rico shows up and he's like, he's a teacher. And they're like, what?
Wait, do you mean to tell me that Saving Private Ryan is actually based on Starship Troopers?
It really is.
What the hell is going on?
It's a futuristic Saving Private Ryan. It totally is. I also thought Seth Gilliam. He plays Sugar Watkins.
Oh, yeah.
He's part of that crew. I thought he was great in this. Do you reckon the main thing I know him from is he was Gabriel the preacher in Walking Dead?
Yes. Yes.
That was the one that I kept going, oh, fuck that guy.
Shit.
How do I know that guy? I think he's been in a lot of things, but I thought he was really good in this movie, in this role.
I agree with you. There's something about a soft-spoken badass that is very intimidating, you know, and he's carrying the big gun.
Yes, he
to
is.
To a degree, he's, you know, he's got the claw on that necklace. Prop.
Oh, shit.
Ooh, here's a prop.
I want Sugar's necklace for sure.
damn, I didn't. I'm usually pretty good at thinking about props, and I don't think I thought about this one.
I want Michael Ironside's arm. I used to have this, and it was around the time where I watched this movie.
I'm going to put it right next to the Terminator arm.
Exactly. I used to, it might have been what I picked. I don't know. I used to have this, like, arm that was like a robot hand arm, but like you could talk into it and it made like your voice change into like a robot. Yeah, exactly.
I am your father.
So I want that.
I want Rico's jawline.
With the scar and all?
Yeah.
The scar makes it.
Yeah, kind of. That's sort of what I'm going for, I think. That's my prop.
Okay.
I looked up to see if he happened to play young Indiana Jones in number 3, and it's not him.
What else did he do?
Sorry, but
he's
got the scar.
Is there anything that he's very well known for, or is it sort of...
People are screaming at us right now.
Casper Van Dien has had... Okay, and I'll say this about almost the entire cast. A lot of them have prolific television
yes,
careers.
It seems like a television type crew, doesn't it? There's a very funny story. In Casper Van Dien revealed he was picking up his two daughters from school.
Oh, yes.
He went by the line at school to pick up his kids. This is quote what he said. He said, I went by the line at school to pick up my kids. You know, you drive up to the school, and when I get up there, there are these 6, 10, and 8-year-old boys hanging out with my daughters. I pulled up in line, and the boys go, Johnny Rico, why didn't you tell us your dad was Johnny Rico? And I said, what are you boys doing watching Starship Troopers? And they said, our dads made us watch it with them. My daughters get in the car, and my 10-year-old says, Dad, were you really naked in Starship Troopers? And I said, yeah. And she said, how could you do that to me? Then my 8-year-old says, wait, like naked, naked? And I said, yep. And she said, oh, my God, my life is ruined. That was the longest 3-minute ride home I've had in my life.
I fucking love that.
That's
story.
Such an awesome story. That's the thing about Casper Van Dien, though, is like, number one, if you're good looking, you're an asshole. Like that's the kind of person.
Just like if you're tall, you're an asshole.
Like you're probably an asshole. I just think that's just who you are, and you think you're better than me, and that's a complex I have.
Yeah,
and
that's a problem. That's a problem within me.
Yeah.
So,
but you, when you read about Casper Van Dien and everything, you realize like he loves this so much, and he appreciates this movie and this role, and he does not treat it like some sort of one hit wonder. Yeah. He is so appreciative. He loves people when they call him Johnny Rico.
Yeah. Cool.
You know, he's
you like
so
to hear
excited
that. You
about
like
it.
To hear that.
You do like to hear that, and he's so receptive to it and really appreciates what it did for his career. And pretty much almost anybody in this movie. I'm a Casper Van Dien fan, 11, 69, 420.
Yeah, dude.
Exclamation mark. Like 100%. Like, dude, let's hang out and have a beer. Probably gluten-free because that's
show.
What you drink.
Come be a guest on the show.
You know, because I can't imagine you put like 1 ounce of carbs or gluten into your body. Cedar Ridge whiskey.
No, I agree with you, man. I think that, you know, we said it on Con Air where like John Malkovich was like, oh, I did a stupid movie in Con Air. It's like, but you're fucking amazing in it and people love you in it, dude.
So be happy.
Yeah. And I love that. That's like, we talk about Sasha Jensen in Days of Confused. Like, he does conventions and stuff, and people love him in the movies he does. And he's like, well, I want to be there for that, you know?
Yeah.
And I want to see that people like these things that I do. And, like, to build on top of it, like, he's, like I said, I think perfectly cast. And I don't see anybody else in this role ever.
That's true.
Because, like, I even think that he's not, like, the greatest in it.
No,
but I think it's on purpose. I think Paul Verhoeven knew he wasn't the greatest actor ever, but could pull off this particular
like
role.
Like if you would have put Tom Cruise in this role, like
no, it's not gonna work.
It wouldn't have worked.
Or if you're gonna
out
put Mark
tone.
Wahlberg in this
or,
role,
yeah, right,
yeah.
Like they had a lot of people like that were probably stars to a degree, you know, and they wanted to put them in. Like, oh gosh, what they say? Like you got Mark Wahlberg or Matt Damon, Matt Dillon, like all these random people that you could have had in this movie, but they didn't, you know, seek them out.
And that's nothing against Casper Van Dien at all. Like, it's perfect goddamn role for him, and he killed it.
Yeah. So we do need to consult the Jarrett Layoff Confused Breakfast Actor Database. I like to ask you guys, of any actor in this movie, who do you think was in the most films we have reviewed? What actor? There's a clear-cut winner at three movies. This actor's been in 3 movies. You know who it is?
I don't know.
We haven't talked about him yet.
I don't know his name, but I know the character.
Okay, which one?
General Baxter.
Maybe. Marshall Bell.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
We're going to die. We're gonna die.
He's still hung up about his divorce with his wife.
Yeah, it was Marshall Bell was in Stand By Me and Airheads.
Yeah.
I also think that he fucking phoned this in.
You think so?
I think his performance is either absolutely brilliant or fucking terrible, and I don't know what it is.
See, that's the thing with this movie, man. I don't know.
A lot of the performances are like that.
Yeah.
And what sucks is that sounds like a diss, and I swear to God, it's not.
Yeah.
Like, I love kind of being in question of that. Yeah. I really do.
Yeah.
One more thing about the party scene where Dizzy and Johnny finally get together. I love the line where Michael Ironside comes in and is like, I need you out there in like 30 minutes.
Grab your gear, 10 minutes.
Five minutes, 10 minutes.
Make it 20. And I want like a scene where it's like, it cuts to 1 minute and 16 minutes later.
1 minute and 16 seconds later. Okay, we're done. Actually.
Well, okay. And then also.
Can we do it again?
On top of this scene where they're like scouting the next day and he sends that dude out to his death, pretty much. They're all hungover.
Yes.
They're all fucked up still, probably, and like the glow of sex off of Johnny and Dizzy there, you know.
Yeah, their genitals are glowing brighter than the comm system can, you know, it can't break through the aura.
Exactly.
Go to higher ground, son. Definitely sends that guy to his death. Yep. And that guy probably wanted it because he was so hungover.
Yep. He's like, cool.
He's like,
we've all been there where like you got a really bad hangover and you're just like, I'm cool with it.
And that
it's my time to go.
And Ratchek was probably like, God, that guy's annoying. He keeps interrupting me. I was talking to Rico. He comes up, he says some shit's on the radio. It's like, just wait. Just stop interrupting me. And maybe I'd like you enough to keep you around. But no, he ends up killing that guy.
Yep.
Very consciously. And I have to say, guys, this was the scene. I'm sorry, I got to double back. This was the scene that made me probably only want to ever have sex in tents. So,
tent sex is not the kind of sex you want to have.
No, I think it's all I want to have.
No.
I think it's important.
I've never done it, but I would like to.
No, I think I'll do it. I'll do it the way that, like, you know, I don't know, weird people do. I'll put down an air mattress or something, add some fun bounce, whatever it takes. I have that same sleeping mat. I've got the sleeping mat, guys.
That's why I bought it.
That's why I bought it. It was just hopefully eventually just blast something right through it. So,
when you bought it, the person
was like, oh, this is
well, you're the one who made us watch that before this, Mike, to get up. All right. Oh, I just want to know if anybody's holes through
this. Looks like a comfortable mattress you're going to have for camping. He's like, I'm actually going to just fuck on it. That's all I'm going to do.
Oh, that's it. We put that down for mess.
Yeah.
That's what you
take it away, wash it off. Of the hose.
That's right. It's very easy to clean.
Are we off the rails?
No, you want to do scene five?
10 seconds. Go ahead.
Go down on your girlfriends, all right?
We've all got our thing.
We got our thing.
Mike, what was it that you're into?
I don't know.
Come
what are
on.
We talking about?
No, we knew, like, you revealed.
He wants to fuck sharks.
Sharks. This is shark sex. That's right.
I want to fuck sharks.
I'd sharks fuck a shark. Down.
Did I say that in Jaws?
I think
God.
I think that's like. I think that was the. I think that's.
Why
the
did
follow
I say
to,
I'd fuck a shark?
I don't know.
But somebody go back and tell me why I said that.
That's a Black Hawk Down 2, Tent Shark Down.
Let's finish this movie. The group returns to the fleet where Jenkins explains the existence of a brain bug. Rico takes command of the Roughnecks and goes back to P to capture the brain bug. As battle commences, Carmen's ship is destroyed by the Arachnids and her and Xander are captured by the Arachnids. Rico and his team successfully rescue Carmen and capture a brain bug. Can I ask a question again? Why this is this weird privilege. Why does Dizzy get a funeral?
Yeah, I know. I don't know.
Oh,
especially like... hundreds of thousands have died, right? So, like, why is she more special than the rest of them? But why is she in more special than Ratchek?
Yeah.
Ratchek's their goddamn leader, and they didn't say a word about him dying.
Well, they didn't pull him out so they could send him into space. So
That's true.
Are they going to send a hologram into space? They don't even do that with their messaging system.
Well,
so
honestly,
do that with their dead.
That could be it, whereas like all of the bodies are so fucking mangled.
She's the only one that made it
like
out.
She was on the ship at least.
Like she's just the
she
honorary.
She looks pretty good. She looks pretty. You did a pretty good job on this whole embalming thing. She's still pretty much put together. Just cover the wound with a shirt. I think we're good. Let's film it.
Let's
propaganda.
Film it. Yeah,
let's film it.
Yeah, I don't
you're
know.
Right. Like, why is she getting this?
Millions have died.
I had that same thought.
Millions have died.
I don't know.
But how that will those, tie into my fan
one of our main
shortly.
Characters, I guess.
Guys, how many of those caskets are floating around? Just
dude, there's a lot of dead bodies in space in real life, I bet.
How many of those are deterring asteroids into Earth as well?
That's like, true. Well, like, deflecting.
We're just out here. We're just polluting the universe with our dead. And no wonder the bugs are pissed.
Tight.
Like, right? I mean...
Yeah.
It's just food for them.
It's just, you're right. That's a good point.
Is a dead it? Body.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. They don't
if
have
they
to
they find
alarm.
One, they're like, oh, thank God. Okay. Dizzy.
I have to say, I think that her death is the best on-screen death in this movie.
Really?
I think it's very good. I do think it's good. Do you guys not think her death was good, Dizzy's death?
I didn't think it was bad.
I thought it was like the, you know, the don't let me go thing. And like she's, you know, kind of and falls back on it, followed up by one of the absolute worst on-screen deaths in cinema history.
Who?
Was captain of the Roger Young of Carmen and Xander's ship. Kitchiva, that's an order.
She was weird.
Might as well have like stuck her tongue out, like
what?
And X's on her eyes. Yeah.
She had plenty of time to get out from underneath that thing.
Oh, dude! I mean,
it's like Austin Powers. Stop!
There's still time.
That's an order. What were you going to say? Come on.
Well, even
it wasn't good.
Ratchet's death could have been avoided, I believe. Like, sir, it's like only below the knees. I think we could pull you out.
They make prosthetics just like your arm for this.
Honestly,
sir, you just hang in there.
You'll be walking in 4 days. It's fine.
No, kill me now.
Fuck it, kill me.
We haven't done this in a while. We got to humanize the goons here. Yeah. I truthfully believe that the bugs. We need to humanize them. They have not once shown the ability to actually throw asteroids. They're not bad. Literally, we want a planet that they're on. They're defending themselves.
Yeah. And there's obviously air on their planet, so that could be the thing.
We want the air.
See, and that they'll never allude to propaganda 101.
Well,
I took a class. I didn't take a class.
And you know how they say that they can send the asteroids. They also say that they suck your brain.
Yeah. How do they hurl an asteroid? That's the one big thing, guys. They can't like time and shoot one of their you know fluorescent jizzes into the sky. They can't do that and be like that's a defense mechanism.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all that is. It has nothing to do with actual attack. It has to do with their defense mechanism.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that just got deep.
Yeah, like a raccoon.
Because we are attacking, and they're putting up a defense mechanism.
Or a skunk spraying a defensive odor that sucks.
Right.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah, that's offensive, but it's because they were defensive.
Yeah.
And they said, don't worry about that light. We don't know anything about it. No, that's just... reflective light. Somebody made a big damn mistake. They don't know anything about them.
Mm-hmm.
It shows, number one, it proves how much they don't know about them. It shows how much they haven't looked into them, haven't researched anything. They're strictly defensive, and they're going to a planet, and they even mention, the news guy mentions at 1.2, he says, some people think that we're in the wrong, that we're going to a planet that and invading their... planet or their ground, you know, their natural habitat. And since we're invading their natural habitat, this is a defense to that.
They're fighting back. Yeah. Weird.
Why would they hurl? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
You're 100% right. I humanize the bugs.
Why do NPH's people look like SS officers?
Dude, thank you for saying that.
Thank
like,
you.
What are they getting at with this? Because that's that is they did this, they made that choice on purpose.
We know, like, what is the company? I don't know who made all the Nazi uniforms, but they look fucking fly. Like, we can't deny that.
They look
good. We hate Nazis, but they had a great look on them.
Like, you could have taken them and put them right into Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah, exactly.
they would fit right in there.
I was just going to say, have you guys, what's that Tom Cruise movie where he's like part of the Valkyrie. They look like they're straight out of Valkyrie.
Does.
Yes.
100%. And Neil Patrick Harris, in that like leather awesomeness jacket that, like, since I'm colonel, I get to wear awesome leather on 120 degree weather. Yeah, that looks, that's an intimidating look.
Yeah.
It's definitely on purpose.
Yeah.
So here's a Mike's fan theory.
Don't you worry about a thing.
I'm Sean.
Now, I can't really call it a Mike fan theory because I did see this on Reddit. How is regular Castle? They're saying that, you know, you keep seeing these cutaways from the desktop. Someone's on a desktop computer reading Federation news. This guy was arguing that the entire film, this entire movie, is Federation propaganda that someone is watching, and those cutaways are commercial breaks.
Oh.
Like, this is a made-for-TV movie that is Federation propaganda that then has commercials in it that they're watching.
There were plenty of films back in, like, the World War II days, like, actual film, like Goebbels films.
Yeah, well, and so it would explain, like, why all the soldiers in the film look like supermodels and why they all seem to have, like, like better treatment than everyone. They all advance quickly, and it's like, because these are our main characters, so we're following through the story. I mean, and they never seem to question the morality of the Federation's decisions. I think that's a cool way to look at this movie, that this was all just filmed and this was a made for TV movie for their propaganda machine.
And you know what? The filmmaking aspect of it, too, there's not a lot of flash to it. There's a lot of locked off cameras. There's not a lot of, like, you know, like, it's a lot of just, like, put the camera there and capture the thing. Capture the people saying the lines, like a kind of low budget propaganda film could be. I like that a lot.
It's a cool way to think of it. There are a lot of, look it up sometimes, Starship Troopers fan theories. There's a lot of cool stuff online.
There's a ton. Like, I feel like you can really dive into this movie about as deep as you want.
Yeah.
And pull out some of that, you know, hidden agenda behind a movie, you know, vibe. There's a lot of that stuff of, why is everybody in Buenos Aires look like this? It's like, well, it's because, like, these Nazi or Aryan people ended up going out. They all jump ship to Argentina.
Yep.
That's where a lot of them ended up.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
Things like that.
Been a long time.
That's why people are all these beautiful people, and this Federation started to spread all over the world. It's fascinating. It is. It's really fascinating.
Well, we got to finish up with.
If we were on a train to go punch a face, I'm on board.
That's what I'm talking about.
The brain bug. Fuck that shit. I do not like that thing at
all. We're going the bug then. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I was just, my next note is the brain bug fucking terrified
me. Sean.
It still does.
It's terrifying.
That thing, that effect, and the whole brain sucking and, like, the skinnying of Patrick Muldoon's face and the white eyes is still fucking staggering to watch. Like, I hate it.
I think Denise Richards was just jealous that brain bug sucked out his soul instead of her.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
It's true. It's true. So. We never got to see that.
Yeah.
Are you punching Denise Richards?
You kind of want to. She's the catalyst.
She smiles
for all this.
Too much. Quit fucking smiling.
Yeah. Yeah.
God damn
She's
it.
She's too stoked about
it. You ever
a lot
see
of
something
this?
So. to steal a line from Edward Norton, I just want to destroy something beautiful. And sometimes it's
Denise Richards.
Denise Richards being too perfect, and
I'm going brain bug, but I also have a question. Like, did they purposely design this to look like a vagina?
I don't know. It looks like it because it's in Clendethu, vagina sucks you.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
But even at the end there's the censored thing. They put, like, a dildo into his mouth and it censors.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they put the...
Like, it's fucking weird that they're implying, like, what are you trying to say here?
Hey, man, look, dicks fuck assholes
dicks
and
fuck things.
Pussies, yeah. Okay? All those things. That's what they do. If you're a totalitarian oligarchy, whoever, you fuck everything, and including that brain
bug. The Federation is a big swinging dick.
Big old swinging
and
dick.
This brain bug is scared.
That's right.
It's scared! Yay! All right!
Yeah!
Scared Zim of our big swinging dick!
Zim
Federation!
Yeah, let's take it
back
and get its secrets out.
Yeah.
Dale Dye's cameos right here. That's all I got.
Who was he?
The white-haired kind of guy. When they do capture the brain bug, he's on the planet. And I think it's Clancy Brown's character, who's like praised for capturing it.
Zim's getting picked up.
And Dale Dye is just like kind of right there next to him, I think.
No kidding. Yeah. Okay, just so he's like
looking
extra
at the camera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Dale Dye. Fucking badass.
Yeah, it turns out it wasn't the mighty fleet.
No. Nope.
It wasn't the mobile infantry.
Just Zim.
It was Zim who caught the bug. It's like, why the hell are we doing all this?
Why don't we just send him?
Let's just go get him.
God damn it.
Well, fellas, is that it? You got anything else you want to add before we give this a modern day rating?
That's it.
That's it.
We've dissected it scene by scene. Now we got to go to Sheen by Sheen. Sean, what is your modern day rating on this movie?
I didn't like any of that. I think that this movie is extremely entertaining. And I can kind of go back to it anytime, I think, for me. I think that what it's saying and the discussion that you can have on this movie is quite fascinating. And I think that like it didn't need to be this way. It could have just been what it's filmed as to be, just like a kind of a throwaway science fiction, humans killing giant bug movie, you know, a science fiction kind of, opera of just man's triumph over another evil. Where in fact that this movie has a lot to say about the political aspect, about propaganda aspect of war, the war machine. And I think it's pitch perfect in doing so. And so with that, I want to give this movie I'm going to give it a 7.99.
7.99. AJ, what about you, man?
No, I agree, because I think there's a reason that this movie is so well received by both, but equally by critics and audiences alike. There's a reason that happened, and it's not because on the surface, this movie shouldn't do that. Mm-mm. It just shouldn't. There's just no reason it should be received so equally and honestly so positively, because unless there is a real genuine message. I mean, we talked a little bit about the book and the author, and you know, the author of the source material, if you will, was not fascist, was not a totalitarian person, you know. He was very much the opposite, and his book was based in satire, much like this movie is. And I think that's a great generational example, I guess, of his book was received very specific with mixed reviews, and so was this movie. I think it's genius. I think it's actually done very well in for the audience that was going to be viewing this in that regard. So that all being said, I enjoy the casting. I think it's very, very intelligent, very smart, very well put together, and I love that theme music, guys. I am going to give this an 8.2.
Nice. Damn, dude. You know, so again, this was my first time seeing it, and call it obvious, but it wasn't obvious to me. And I think that's a problem. And I hope I'm not the only fucking idiot out there, but I was just like, I don't understand what they're doing. I feel like it was a little too deep of a metaphor to make this like, you know, this is funny. It's like, well, is it? Like, I can't tell. First watch, I was going to give it like a 5. Second watch, I enjoyed it much better. Now that I was like, I understand this. I get this. I think I loved the movie so much until like the final planet scene in the brain bugs. I was kind of like, yeah, I could do without. In fact, on my rewatch, I was very enthralled, and then I kind of gave up after that part. So I have a feeling I will like this more every time I go back and watch it. But for now, currently, I'm going to call it a 6.26. For me, executive producer Starling says, watching this with a modern eye, I was expecting to find the whole thing ridiculous. I really wanted to understand how Johnny Rico, Carmen Ibanez, and Dizzy Flores and the entire Caucasian high school were all from Buenos Aires. How is this explained? It wasn't, but I did my own research and found out that apparently a lot of Argentinians look very European. So thanks to you boys, I'm getting an education. Though I still don't understand how a blind biology teacher could be the best person to lead a dissection course. course. But shout out to one of the best cameos so far in a movie, getting Mrs. Blanche Devereaux herself.
Hell yeah.
As the movie starts, I heard high school teacher later turned squad leader Mr. Ratchek talking to the class, and I heard him say something that made me pause, reverse the movie, and watch the entire scene again because I wanted to make sure I understood him correctly. He explains that democracy and social scientists are to blame for Earth's demise, which is why we had to revert to a military-led government with meritocracy based on your contribution through the military. This contribution makes you a citizen versus a civilian, which would allow you to vote and easily procreate. I thought to myself, this movie seems like what white Americans in the 1950s would think the future would look like. This movie is based on a novel that was written as a response to the U.S. ceasing nuclear testing in the 1950s. Now take that information and think about that comment that Denise Richards makes about how everyone being destroyed in Hiroshima is the best example of how violence has resolved more conflicts with a pure angelic smile on her face. That's fucking wild to me. The movie goes more of a satirical direction than the novel, or at least they tried, with the propaganda commercials with kids and showing how brutal the bugs are. However, it seems that both the Federation and the bugs are colonizers. Who knows what we did to piss these guys off? At some point, we must have both tried to take over the same planet. The gang of pretty people plus Neil Patrick Harris all pursue the military for different reasons. Johnny Rico could have headed to Harvard for a nice life full of parties, ladies, and taking over the family business. But his love for Carmen and the right to vote led to a life of service as an infantryman. A job so dangerous that Johnny, a teenager becoming corporal, could have made sense if that was to show how quickly people get killed in the field, that surviving 1 year could equal 10 years. But that doesn't explain the quick advancements of his high school besties, who also become leaders in their respective units. Johnny played football against Xander, and somehow Xander was the assistant flight instructor to Carmen. Did you notice that Johnny is so good looking that his face and smile literally win everyone over? Jake Busey's ace is trying to harass everyone in the lunch line and takes one look at Johnny and instantaneously becomes his friend. Dizzy gets stabbed to death and they rip a bug's leg out of her chest, and she says it was okay because she finally got to have you. Can you imagine Sarah Connor or Ripley saying that to a guy they got to sleep with for 20 minutes once?
Reese is pretty good. Never mind.
Also, this takes place in the 23rd century, which is when the fifth element universe was occurring, like we said. One film assumed massive integration with huge developments in technology and weapons. The other went the opposite direction. If only Johnny had Zorg's ZF-100 for those critters. But they do have interplanetary travel, video conferencing, tissue regeneration. But if you want to get a recorded video, that's going to require a CD-ROM.
Thank you.
It's easy to make fun of aspects of this movie, but at the end of the day, it is fun. The reality is Johnny Rico is charming. He has a big heart, and I'm rooting for him. He's never coming off superior to any of his peers. He just keeps fighting. Despite his blessings, he doesn't make choices that make his life any easier. He is the kind of military hero we expect everyone to be. The opposite of the general who saved his life hiding in a locker, which is where you would have found me. Mm-hmm. The film has a mix of cheesy effects, but what they saved in the laser tag scene, they spent on the bugs. On Netflix, on my old flat screen, the bugs looked fantastic. It's a fun movie, and while I won't seek it out, I know I will see this movie again someday, and I happily give it a 6.5. It's not the best of its genre, but it'd be fun to see with a group of people. So that takes us to a 7.24 for a modern day rating, which is going to be, 7.24. We'll call it number 60 on our list. So that's a little better than half. That's going to be right below Predator, right above Groundhog Day.
No, that's fair.
Actually, let's put it this way. Right above Predator, right below Spaceballs is where that is. So it's like...
Makes sense.
It's like right in there. It feels okay to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Below...
So Predator 7.25, Starship Troopers 7.24, Spaceballs 7.14.
Okay. Oh, damn. Okay. Well, that's fine. No, that's fine. No, it is.
I'm good with it there. I'd like to see it as like a 7.5 at least.
Yeah.
That's our fault, you know? But yeah, that's why we do this.
That's exactly why.
This is why we spend our time on this, is to come up with a modern day rating that is now gospel. So we hope you enjoyed the episode. Thanks for being here. Tune in next week, The Fugitive, And then a movie that has been asked since the day we started, we're going to hit Airborne.
I can't wait.
And I'm going to wear my rollerblades the whole show.
Hell.
It's going to be fucking awesome.
All right.
And if you're new to the podcast, go back this time last year, Weekend at Bernie's. That is a summer flick. The weather is hot out there. You go watch Weekend at Bernie's and you tell me it's not the funniest
the roof
shit you've ever
seen. Where they're literally like the tar is getting burnt and melted on their skin.
You can feel that.
You can feel that.
It's everything.
And don't forget, we have a voicemail. Call us at 319-804-9596. Leave us some feedback like today's caller.
Gentlemen, how the heck are you? Chris from New Jersey here. I just want to say, you guys are good. You know, you're good. You go out there, you give 110%, and then you talk good. And when you talk good, you do good. And chips fall where they may. And you guys are just, you're good. And that little speech was inspired by a little film starring Academy Award winning Brendan Fraser and the smoking hot Elizabeth Hurley called Bedazzled.
Fuck yeah.
I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's from the year 2000. You should probably review that one. If you haven't seen it, it's worth the ride. While we're talking about Academy Award winning Brendan Fraser, another little film he did from 2001 was called Monkey Bone. And to this day, it is still one of the funniest and wildest movies I've ever seen in my life. See that? I got all choked up, not talking good. You're still good. Okay. That's it. Go and go forth and do stuff and do good. Dang it.
Hell yeah, dude.
Thanks, Chris. That's how you leave a voicemail, folks.
That's awesome. Yeah,
that's how you do it.
Monkey Bone and Bedazzled. Where I saw both of those in theaters, and that was the Fraser Renaissance.
I need Blast from the Past in our lives.
That's going to happen.
It needs to happen. I need more Brendan Fraser. It's absolutely true. We just need more Brendan Fraser.
Yeah,
so,
man.
But thank you, Chris. Thank you. You're doing good. Thank you for being good. And thank everyone else for being good and doing good by, leaving us at that little review. You slapped in some 5 stars, you wrote some lines, and you said, hey guys, I think you're kind of cool. And that's what you did. You left us a review. Leave us on Spotify as well. 5 stars right then and there. Check us out on the social media. Just search for Confused Breakfast, guys. Search for Confused Breakfast.
ConfusedBreakfast.com. You can also see our merch store. You can buy some shirts. You can buy some sweatshirts. You could probably buy some koozies. I think you can buy these little swords. We'll put our sticker on them and charge you $50 to buy these.
Nice.
They're fun. They're really fun. You can buy some glasses. You can get some Dawn of the Dead things with... you can get whatever you want at this store. You can also go to that same website and see our ratings of all the movies we've ever done and see that this is slightly worse than Predator.
Yep. Support our sponsors. Go check out Manscaped. Check out Cedar Ridge. Support us directly. Sponsor our podcast at patreon.com/confusedbreakfast. We are produced by Upload Media Group in Cedar Rapids. We got Craig on the controls. And we are on the Cloud 10 iHeart Podcast Network. Learn more at cloud10.fm. That's it for us. Goodbye.
Get on now.
Deuce.
Hey guys, I'm Maggie Lawson.
And I'm her podcast partner in crime, Timothy Albinson.
And we are the hosts of your new favorite show, The Psychologist RN. Each week, we go episode by episode talking about our favorite moments from psych, sharing behind the scenes stories, incredible memories, and even have drop-ins from our best friends and fellow casting crew. If this sounds up your alley, listen to The Psychologist RN on the iHeart app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.